Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. And we're going to start with something. This was posted by Carol Ann Nixie. After the pandemic, be sure to start hugging again. Why? Because hugging is practically perfect. It helps the body's immune system. It cures depression. It reduces stress. It's rejuvenating. It has no unpleasant side effects. It is all natural, contains no chemicals, artificial ingredients, pesticides, nor preservatives. There are no parts to break down, no monthly payments, it's non-taxable, non-polluting, and best of all, it's fully returnable. Remember, a hug is the one present that's always worth giving. Next, I'm going to introduce you to a book by Ursula Le Guin, No Time to Spare. We're going to read a section from it each week for the next however long it takes. And I want first to read her introduction so you'll understand her thought processes. It's called A Note at the Beginning, and it's dated October 2010. I've been inspired by Jose Saramago's extraordinary blogs, which he posted when he was 85 and 86 years old. They were published this year in English as The Notebooks. I read them with amazement and delight. I never wanted to blog before. I've never liked the word blog. I suppose it is meant to stand for biolog or something like that, but it sounds like a sodden tree trunk in a bog, or maybe an obstruction in the nasal passage. Oh, she talks that way because she has such terrible blogs in her nose. I was also put off by the idea that a blog ought to be interactive, that the blogger is expected to read people's comments in order to reply to them and carry on a limitless conversation with strangers. I am much too introverted to want to do that at all. I am happy with strangers only if I can write a story or a poem and hide from them behind it, letting it speak for me. So, though I have contributed a few blog-like objects to Book Review Cafe, I never enjoyed them. After all, despite the new name, they were just opinion pieces or essays, and writing essays has always been tough work for me, and only occasionally rewarding. But seeing what Saramago did with the form was a revelation. Oh, I get it. I see. Can I try it too? My trials, attempts, efforts, that's what essay means, so far have very much less political and moral weight than Saramago's and are more trivially personal. Maybe that will change as I practice the form. Maybe not. Maybe I'll find soon that it isn't for me after all and stop. That's to be seen. What I like at the moment is the sense of freedom. Saramago didn't interact directly with his readers, except once. That freedom also I'm borrowing from him. So that was Ursula Le Guin's introduction to her set of blogs, which we will continue with next time. Now we're going to move on to an article from the AARP, The Bulletin. This is under the heading of Your Money. Store credit cards, worth it? Deals abound, but so do some very expensive pitfalls. This is by Lisa Lee Freeman. In the checkout line or on the website of Home Depot, Target, and other major retailers, you'll no doubt get a pitch for the merchant's credit card. A huge discount on the first purchase. Cash back deals. Special financing. No annual fee. Be wary. A September survey by Compare Cards found that 56% of shoppers who open store card accounts have regrets. One reason? Their interest rates are higher, on average, than those of general purpose credit cards. and those rates can explode in your face when paired with no interest financing deals. If you don't pay off the entire initial balance by the end of the promotional period, you'll be charged interest on the full starting balance, explains Nathan Grant, an industry analyst at Credit Card Insider. For example, you get a store card to charge a $1,000 refrigerator and pay it off interest-free over 12 months. If a year later you've repaid only $975, you could see an interest charge of nearly $300 on your next bill. But if you pay your bill on time and in full, a store card can save you money and earn you nice perks. To build a list of the best store cards, I turned to Grant, creditcards.com analyst, Ted Rossman, and Benay Wilson, an editor at the Points Guy travel website. If you're considering a different card, use the information here to judge its value. Some cards are usable only with a particular retailer. Others are co-branded with Visa, MasterCard, or another card, meaning you can use them with any merchant that accepts that brand of card. Rules for racking up and redeeming rewards vary. Amazon Prime Rewards Visa Signature Card. Best perks. $100 sign-up bonus, 5% back on Amazon.com and at Whole Foods Market. Extended warranty coverage. Know this. It requires an Amazon Prime membership. Points are redeemable for Amazon credits, cash, or gift cards. Costco. Anywhere Visa Card. Best perks. 4% cash back on up to $7,000 in gas at Costco and other eligible stations. 3% at restaurants. 2% at Costco. Extended warranty coverage. Know this. Requires a Costco membership. Reward certificates, redeemable for cash or Costco prizes, purchases, and are issued annually after February billing statements closed. Target Red Card. Best perks. 5% discount on all eligible purchases in stores and online. Free standard or two-day shipping at Target.com. Know this. Card is usable only at Target. The 5% discount does not apply to prescriptions. Certain orders may have shipping fees. And finally, Walmart Rewards MasterCard. Best perks. 5% off at Walmart.com, including pickup and delivery. 2% back at Walmart stores. Know this. Using your card with the Walmart Pay mobile app gets you 5% back in Walmart stores for the first 12 months. And this was by Lisa Lee Freeman, who's a consumer and shopping expert. She was founder and editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. And now that's Medicare Made Easy. This is by Dina Bunnis. I'm about to retire and join Medicare, and I hear I could be liable for thousands of dollars in costs. Is that true? It is true. But it's also true that you've probably been paying thousands of dollars in premiums for your work health insurance, though you don't notice it because it's deducted from your paycheck. So there may not be that much difference in what Medicare will cost you. All in all, enrollees in original Medicare spent an average of about $6,000 on premiums and medical care in 2017. That said, there are choices that can make Medicare costs lower and more predictable. Here are a few ways you can protect yourself from large out-of-pocket costs and even lower your ongoing monthly costs. 1. If you enroll in Original Medicare, then consider a supplemental policy, also called Medigap. You'll have to pay a monthly premium, but Medigap plans pay for much of what Medicare doesn't, and you'll be protected if you have a health emergency or get really sick and your out-of-pocket costs surge. 2. Consider a Medicare Advantage, MA, private insurance plan. You'll trade some choice in doctors for usually lower costs. More importantly, MA plans set a limit on out-of-pocket costs. For 2021, Medicare says that limit cannot exceed $7,550. 3. There are savings programs that help pay for Medicare or out-of-pocket health costs. State health insurance assistance programs, there is one in each state, provide free counseling for Medicare beneficiaries. Go to SHIP T-A Center, that's SHIPTACENTER.org, to find contact information for your state's office. Then make an appointment to discuss your situation and your options. I hear that for 2021, I might be able to save money on insulin. Is that the deal? What's the deal? This year, Medicare added a Medicare Part D prescription drug pilot program that caps out-of-pocket costs of some insulin for some beneficiaries at no more than a $35 monthly copay. To qualify, you have to be enrolled in one of the 88 participating Part D or Medicare Advantage plans. Go to medicare.gov/coverage/insulin for details, as well as a link to find participating plans in your area and which types of insulin are covered. Beware, these plans may have higher premiums, so do the math. Will your insulin savings exceed the higher premiums? And this was by Dina Burness, who is a senior editor and writer for AARP.org and a veteran health policy journalist. Now we're going to an article from the special health edition of Immunity magazine. Pets and the immune system. Having a four-legged companion in the house, especially from a young age, can help boost a person's immune system in unexpected ways. And this is by Courtney Mifsud. Your fluffy housemate could be helping you stay healthy. Growing research suggests that owning a pet, specifically dogs or cats, benefits the immune system. Pets can even help kids build immunity before they're born. Science points to the complex network of bacteria, fungi, and viruses that makes up the indoor microbiome in our homes that may actually help prevent diseases instead of causing them. Rather than trying to filter out every last speck of dirt, letting the body be exposed to a diverse array of indoor germs can help the immune system develop properly. And as all pet owners know, nothing helps bring more dirt into the house than a mud-rolling, paw-print-smearing pet. And research suggests that Fido's filth can help keep us healthy. A 2011 study published in the journal Clinical and Experimental Allergy collected information from 566 children and their parents about the children's exposure to pets in the home and their history of allergies. The study also took blood samples, and when the subjects turned 18, they were tested for certain immune system antibodies that fight off pet allergens. The teenagers who had lived with a cat during their first year of life had a 48% lower risk of developing a cat allergy than those who did not have pets. The teenage boys who had a dog had a 50% lower risk of dog allergy. Dirt is good, the study's lead researcher, Ganessa Wiegenka, MD or PhD, told Health at the time of the study's publication. Your immune system, if it's busy with exposures early on, stays away from the allergic immune profile. More recent research suggests that the immune connection develops even earlier than birth. A 2017 study published in Microbiome found that children born into homes with pets have higher levels of gut microbes that help protect against allergies and other diseases. The study compared fecal samples from 746 infants from Canada. Some of the babies were from families with pets, the majority of which were dogs. Some were from families who had pets in the home during the pregnancy, but not once the baby was born, and others from families that had no recent pets at all. The study found that infants from households with pets had twice the amount of two bacteria, Oscillospira and Ruminococcus, that have been linked to a reduced risk of developing childhood allergies. The benefit was also seen even when the pets had been given up before the babies were born, showing that bacteria transferred indirectly from the animal to the mother to the child, affecting the infant's microbiome. The researchers considered the first 3 months, and even when the baby is in the womb, to be a critical window of time when gut immunity and microbes co-develop. The study's lead author, Anita Krzyzewski, PhD, told Health at the time of the study's release. She explained that introduction of foreign bacteria, which would disrupt the developmental process, can change immunity. However, more research is needed. Genetics also plays a role in allergy development, and it makes sense that parents with allergies are most likely not going to have a dog or a cat to begin with. But according to the researchers, the results were adjusted to account for any asthma or allergies that came from the mothers. Pets have always been our best friends, and they appear to be good for our babies too. Now we're going to move on to an article from the Essential Retirement Guide. And this is Controlling Costs, Owning versus Renting in Retirement. Does home ownership make sense for your senior years? To rent or to own, it's an eternal question in real estate. While owning your home can provide stability as you age, renting can allow for flexibility without the responsibilities of home ownership. Housing is likely your biggest retirement expense, so it's worth considering the pros and cons of each option. To decide whether renting or owning is right for you, ask yourself these four questions as you weigh your options. How long do I plan to live there? Some people wish to own property, create space for their personal projects, and live out their days near their families. Others would prefer to explore the world with their newfound freedom. Be honest with yourself about your plans, taking into account current health care needs and future assisted living accommodations. If you know you'll be moving around frequently, it's best to rent. You're not locked into a mortgage and homeowner responsibilities while you travel. If you're looking for a place where you can settle for the next 15 to 20 years, it may be beneficial to purchase a home, since you will have time to build additional equity. What's the real estate market like in my preferred area? You most likely have a region in mind, or even a specific city. Research the local real estate market, analyzing historic and current rental rates. Ask an expert about the economic growth of the area to gauge where prices are heading. Compare this information to the cost of buying a house, taking into account maintenance, taxes, and home insurance. For example, Florida has some of the most affordable housing available in retirement communities, but it can be a trap for tenants when rent prices are primed to soar. What are my cash flow needs? Depending on your retirement plans, you'll want to calculate how much cash you need to maintain your lifestyle. Renting can lower your monthly expenses and make them more predictable. No surprise roof repairs or busted furnaces. Renting can also save you capital. If you sell your home and invest the money, you may actually be able to make a return that's higher than the appreciation on a new house. For example, if you invested the proceeds from the sale of your home and got a 6% return, you would still outpace the appreciation on your home, which has run an average of 5.4% a year since 1968, according to the National Association of Realtors. Bear in mind that depending on how much profit you make on the home sale, you may owe capital gains taxes on the proceeds. The situation is different if you plan to be in your home for the long haul and don't need access to its value along the way. In that case, owning means that you'll reap the rewards of increased equity if housing prices rise. Do I want to leave an inheritance behind? This is one of the most personal questions to ask yourself when deciding whether to own or rent, and it can be tricky since it forces you to think about your legacy. However, keeping a house in the family is important to many people. If you want to pass property or home equity down to your spouse, children, or other heirs, you'll want to consider buying. If you're not in a position to leave an inheritance, you may consider renting a home. It can be a much cheaper option for many retirees. When you're making your choice, remain realistic with your budget and diligent with your research. A financial advisor can help you examine your budget and sort through the costs and benefits of renting versus buying. And the pro tip for this is, if you're buying a home that you plan to stay in for the long term, consider future factors like accessibility and proximity to health care and family. Now we're moving on to AARP, the magazine. And this is from the upfront page, the A-list. 8 things Sophia Loren says to do immediately. 1, take a bow. When I look in the mirror, I cheer for myself. I don't ask, are you great or are you beautiful? No, it's how I feel inside, how secure I am, how happy I am. That's what matters. 2, call the grands. My 2 sons each have 2 kids, but I'm far away. In Geneva, Switzerland. So we talk on the phone and send pictures. I just try to have that moment of happiness during this pandemic as we all wait for a better tomorrow. Be hopeful. When my son, director Eduardo Ponti, and I were making The Life Ahead, I fell in love with the story. What happens between the boy's character and mine is beautiful. We need these kinds of miracles today. 4, lend a hand. You have to help people make it in life. When I was a child growing up during the war, my mind was always in the sky. I wanted to be an actress like Rita Hayworth, but I needed help, and this stayed in my mind and still does. 5, shoo the negative. If you are healthy and doing something you enjoy, then you cannot think, God, tomorrow I'm going to die. No, you can do many wonderful things. I work, read, watch movies, go to church, and I breathe a lot. 6, age naturally. Why change your body and be somebody else if you are happy inside? I never thought of that. Never. I like what I have. I like me. And I don't want to add anything that does not belong to me. I would be very sad. 7, savor the little things. When I come to the living room, I look down at the table and see chocolates, and 2 or 3 of them disappear every day. This I should stop, but I do it anyway. 8, accept what is. I was very sad when my husband, director Carlo Ponti, died, and you can never get over this kind of feeling. Never. Each time you think about it, there's a moment of the loneliness, which is very strong, but that's life. And the final quote from her is, sometimes when I say I'm 86, I don't believe it. I feel 20. And this article was as told to Marilyn Mulloy. And 2-time Oscar-winning actress Sophia Loren stars in the Netflix movie The Life Ahead. Now we have, from the same magazine, eat. Yes, please, but just 1 slice. So these are about different kinds of pies. I may not get to all of them today, but I'll finish it up later if I don't. Apple pie. Apples pack plenty of nutrients and the soluble fiber pectin, which helps lower cholesterol. For even more fiber, make a baked topping of whole grain rolled oats. Lemon meringue pie. This is low in fat, but the lemon filling has been so sweetened you can cut your slice in half and still feel satisfied. That'll avoid serious sugar intake. Pumpkin pie. It usually has no top crust, saving calories. A cup of pumpkin filling contains about 250% of your recommended daily intake of vitamin A, key for eye and bone health. Blueberry pie. Fresh and frozen blueberries are rich in vitamins and anthocyanins, which are thought to improve brain function and control inflammation. A healthier alternative is a homemade blueberry tart with a crust of rolled oats. Chocolate peanut butter cream pie. If this is your must-have pie, consider swearing off any other sweets. Commercial brands are often the pinnacle of pie unhealthiness. Check ingredients lists for partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, a red flag for unhealthy trans fats. Pecan pie. Typically, it's loaded with sugar, usually in the form of corn syrup. On the other hand, those nuts are full of heart-healthy, monounsaturated fats. Cheesecake. It has lots of saturated fats, and the ginger cracker crust of many prepackaged versions is made with ingredients that contain dangerous trans fats. And I'll also have a dollop on top. Who doesn't get a bit hungrier at the words a la mode? But pie add-ons are notoriously unhealthy. If you indulge, follow with a no sweets after holiday. Vanilla ice cream. A half a cup has 137 calories. Whipped cream spray can, 2 tablespoons, 15 calories. Whipped cream, homemade, 2 tablespoons, 52 calories. I'm hungry already. Now finally, turning bustle into bistro. Easy ways to make eating at home feel like a night out. Move the table. This will break up your routine and make the experience special. Invest in a bar cart when you won't have to get up and down for items during dinner. You don't have to run to the kitchen in a restaurant. I think a bar cart would be like a makeshift server. Prioritize smell. Celebrity chef Kat Cora recommends using fresh herbs for a heightened aroma. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.